Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, as we sang that one song earlier, Lord, we lift our eyes to you. And Lord, it's so easy in this world we live in to get our eyes focused on other things. But Lord, tonight, we just want to be reminded. We just want to be encouraged, Lord, that we are to put our eyes upon you. Lord, help us to do that. And God, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And all God's people said, amen. I want to talk to us for a little bit tonight about keeping our focus. Keeping our focus. That word focus means the center of activity, the attraction or attention. Is our society a busy society today? With all our busy lifestyles, different things going on, there are many things that vie for our attention. And when you throw Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays in the mix, it's just multiplied exponentially. Can you say amen? So many things that can attract us away from where we need to be. So many things that would have us to be very active or busy, yet even though they might not be out and out sin, they can cause us to lose our focus off of Christ and the things that he would have for us to do. But especially in these times we are living in, we must guard our vision. We must guard our focus, not allowing anything or anyone to keep Christ from being at the center. I like that worship song that we sing, Jesus at the center of it all. Can you say amen? Our first commandment, and I still believe in the Ten Commandments. How about you? The Lord says, you shall have no other gods, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Now you say, Brother Doss, that's a strong statement. Well, if the Creator wants to make that statement, he can make that statement. He's God. Can you say amen? And he knows what's best for us. But here in this instance, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. We find this same account, and I want to encourage you, not right now, but I want to encourage you to look it up in the other accounts. Look it up in Luke and look it up in Mark. It's in two of the other Gospels, Luke and Mark. But Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. As you put all these together, Jesus has taken them up and he's gone up there to pray. In Luke, I believe it's in Luke's gospel, in his account, it says, and while he was praying, he was transfigured before them. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appear to them and begin talking with Christ. They are encouraging him. They're talking about what he's just about to have to go through in Jerusalem. They're talking about the cross that he's about to face. Jesus knows that he's headed there. But how many of you know the goodness of God? In this we see the very goodness of God. That the Heavenly Father, even though that he knows he's going to have to turn his back on his son on that great and fateful day, he still sends one of his most awesome men to encourage his son, to prepare him for what's coming, what's about to happen. Again, Jesus allows Peter, James, and John to view this event. In verse 4, it says, when Peter, then Peter But behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them and talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Now, again, I believe it's in Luke's gospel that said Peter didn't see them when they showed up because Peter had been asleep. Said their eyes were very heavy from sleep. And this is just kind of extra. It amazes me how many times that Jesus and John and James are with Jesus. No, Peter, John, and James are with Jesus while he's praying, and they're doing what? The more things change, the more things stay the same. Anybody ever fell asleep while praying? You're in good company. Peter and John and James did the same thing. So Peter kind of wakes up and says, wow. He knows he's out at a very special time. And he is just so amazed and he's so overwhelmed. And he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And God allows them to witness this event. They've heard about Moses all their life, but now they are sitting there looking at him. I don't believe they're just looking at a hologram or a image of Moses. I believe Moses is standing there. I believe Elijah is standing there. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. But Jesus came to be the fulfillment of what? The law and the prophets. So they're standing there and they're talking with Jesus. And Peter, when he finally wakes up a little bit, he's got his mouth wide open again. He's overwhelmed. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Again, it was here that Peter was so moved and stirred by the experience, by the event, by the circumstance, he begins to lose his focus. Now, is Peter in a sinful state here? Absolutely not. But what's he doing? He begins to lose what he's supposed to be looking at and what he's supposed to be understanding and what he's supposed to be realizing. Because while he was speaking. When? While he was speaking, a great cloud came down and overshadowed them. And all of a sudden, can you imagine what's the presence of God in that cloud? You already got Moses and Elijah and especially Jesus standing there. But all of a sudden, the very power, the very Shekinah glory of God, it wasn't just a rain cloud, it was the Shekinah glory of God comes down and sits on that mountain. And all of a sudden, God speaks. Behold, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Not listen to them. But he says, do what? Hear him. This experience has, this encounter has basically two purposes. One, the main one is for Jesus, for Jesus to be encouraged and Jesus to help prepare Jesus. Because he's fully God, yet he's fully man. To help prepare Jesus for what's coming. And in fact, Luke says to help encourage him for his decease, the thing that's about to come upon him at Jerusalem. Again, Peter was so stirred by the experience, he began to lose his focus. He wants to build tabernacles. He wants to idolize the event. He wants to idolize not only Jesus, but he wants to idolize Moses and he wants to idolize Elijah. He says, let's build three tabernacles so we can come and worship this what? This event. We want to remember this event. And that's all well and good, but the problem with that is too many times we as humans get caught up in the event that we lose our focus on what really needs to be happening. Can you say amen? That's why God comes down in the cloud and says, hear him. The point is, Jesus is to be our only focal point. Again, the reason for the experience was for Jesus. Then the other part was for Peter and James and John not to lose their focus. The Father redirected their focus to where it should be, not on Moses or Elijah, but solely on Christ. In essence, God literally, when he came down in the cloud, he clouded their vision in order to redirect their sight. He clouded their vision in order to redirect their sight. And when the Father spoke, they fell on their faces. Because they were what? Afraid. It's amazing that they weren't afraid when Elijah showed up or Moses showed up. Wasn't so much afraid when the cloud showed up. But when the Father spoke. Now, I'm going to just have to tell you, I don't believe he spoke in the still small voice. Last time he showed up on a mountain in a cloud, it was rough. Sounded like a voice of many waters. Why do you think they were afraid? I kind of got, and y'all help me on this. And please don't take anybody take this the wrong way. But I appreciate your faithfulness on Wednesday nights. I do. I really do. I appreciate it. So please don't take anything the wrong way. This is a Wednesday night crowd anyway. But anyway, I got to thinking about it, and y'all help me with this. I don't know of any other time that Peter, James, or John may have heard the audible voice of God except on the mountain, unless they had been at the baptism. Unless they had been at Jesus' baptism. And all of a sudden, I mean, they've heard Jesus speak. They've seen him cast out devils. They've seen all these things. They've seen miracles. They've seen thousands fed. Miraculously, they've seen the storm still, but all of a sudden, when the voice of God speaks, this is very possibly the first time they have heard the audible voice of God. They fall on their face. But of all the things that God could have told them, he uses this to teach them. He says, "Behold, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." In other words, Jesus could have very easily redirected their focus. But the Father felt it was of such importance that his glory came down on the cloud. And he knew the plan. I love this. He knew the plan that he had for Peter, James, and John. And he says, you need to understand. You need to focus on him. Everything else was centered toward him. Everything else is about my Son. Hear him. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. Can you say amen? Keep your focus on him. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked over to him and put his hand on him and said, look, get up, arise, don't be afraid. And I love how Matthew puts it. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Moses and Elijah headed back to heaven. But their focus was back on where? Was back on Jesus. Are y'all with me tonight? Anytime we get our focus off anyone else but Christ or anything else but Christ or his word, we get into trouble. Anytime we get our focus off, and I'm going to tell you, it is so easy to do. And I was thinking about, and Michael was teaching it at men's group last night and did a great job in things that distract us from Christ. I said, he's going to take care of Wednesday night for me right now. So if you came to men's group last night, you say, well, that's just a spillover. Yeah, probably so. That's why I didn't say a whole lot last night. Anytime we get our focus off of anyone else but Christ or his word, we get into trouble. Think about it. Eve in the garden. When the enemy came and tempted her to eat of the fruit of the tree. And she said, no, we're not supposed to do that. If we do, we're going to die. And the enemy said, no, you're not surely going to die. But the Bible says, when she saw that the tree was good for food and good to make one, when she did what? When she saw. When she got her focus off what she knew what the Lord had said and what her husband had said. Now, ladies, don't take anything in that. Because guess what? Adam is charged with the what? Who's charged with the sin, Adam or Eve? I truly believe. Now, this is FYI for your information. I truly believe because Adam didn't properly instruct his wife. That's a whole another deal. But anyway, but Adam's charged with a sin. But when Eve saw, when she got her focus on off the what she needed to focus, and when she began to focus on her own wants and desires and on what the enemy was tempting her to do, that's when problems started. Think about Achan. Achan, when they crossed into the promised land, when they went into Jericho, what did God tell him to do? He says, you don't touch anything. You destroy everything. You get rid of everything. But the Bible says when Achan saw that Babylonian garment, and when he saw the gold and the silver, he began to covet it. But what was his first sin? The covetousness, or when he failed to focus on the Word of God. Peter, in our account, when Peter saw Moses and Elijah and standing there with Jesus, there's nothing sinful about that at all. But the problem was his thought got, he began to lose focus. And again, I believe that's when the Shekinah glory of God came down and God openly spoke to them, hey, saying, this is how important this is. You know what? I believe this account is not, because Jesus told them, I'm kind of jumping all over the place. Jesus told them when they were coming off the mountain, he said, don't tell anybody about this till after I'm risen from the dead. And they're scratching their head. What does it mean for that he's going to rise from the dead? Don't tell anybody about this. But we have the record of it in three of the Gospels, and it was important enough for it to be written in the Gospels. What? So we can have an understanding about it today. That God came down and used this time as a teaching time as he was encouraging his son to tell his disciples, his chosen, some of his chosen apostles, to, hey, keep your focus on my son. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But Peter, even in that environment, got his eyes on the experience rather than keeping it on Jesus. I love Peter because Peter's just, man, he's just so awesome because he's so real and he made some mistakes along the way. Anybody else made a few mistakes along the way? One of the greatest instances about Peter losing his focus when they were on the storm-tossed sea and Jesus came to walking with him to him on the storm-tossed sea, and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out to you on the water. And Jesus says, come on. And he stepped down out of the boat, you know, and he starts walking to Jesus on the water. But what happened? We know what happened. It says when he saw the wind and he saw the waves boisterous, he began to do what? When we get our eyes off the Lord and on our circumstances, on the storms of our life, what happens every time? Thank God Peter got out of the boat. Somebody did. Amen. But what a lesson. When we get our eyes on the circumstances and situations, we will begin to sink down. Jesus asked him, he said, Where did you lose your faith? When he got his focus off the Lord. Thank God Peter got his eyes back on the Lord and cried out to him. There's one other example. I'm going to use the scripture on this one. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, the rich young ruler said, which one? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus purposely, again, we've talked about this before, Jesus purposely quotes to him the last six commandments. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I really feel this young man wanted to do the right thing in his heart. No, excuse me, let me put that different. I really feel he wanted to do the right thing in his mind. But his heart was set on other things. This guy's not a robber. He's not a thief. He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. But this is someone who has never truly got their focus completely on the Lord. Because the first four commandments have to do completely with our relationship with God. The first four commandments, notice Jesus purposely doesn't mention them because he knows that's not his focus. But what is Jesus trying to do? What is Jesus trying to do with this young man? He's trying to turn him. He's trying to change his what? He's trying to change his focus. Well, Brother Dawes, that's a lot to ask. He's not asking anything of him that he didn't ask of any of the other disciples. He's not asking. This young man could have been one of the apostles. He's not asking anything of him that he didn't ask of the other disciples. He said, come on and follow me. The only thing, they laid down their nets and they laid down the tax collecting. And they did what? But this young man, his focus was more upon his wealth than his relationship with God. He never got his eyes off his possession. But the sad thing is, he was never able, unless sometime later, we don't know the rest of the story, we hoped it changed, he was never able to possess the greatest treasure the world has ever known. What do you think it must have been like when he faced Jesus in heaven? Jesus probably, I told you. I tried to help you. I tried to get you to change your focus. Are y'all with me tonight? Again, trying to encourage ourselves to keep our focus. Anytime we get our focus, our center of attention, our attraction, our activity off of Christ, we begin to lose out with the Lord. One more place we can lose our focus. And this is one of the biggest ones. On ourself. Ourself. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, can y'all count on your fingers? Every time the word I is used, help me count. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What is his problem? He's focused on I. He's focused on how wonderful he is. If you ever watch Shark Tank, there's one of the guys on there called Mr. Wonderful. This is Mr. Wonderful in the New Testament right here. Hello. If you're laughing, I know you watch Shark Tank. But anyway, and the tax collector standing afar would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But Jesus gives the account of both. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself would be humbled, and he who humbles himself would be exalted. Again, the Pharisee, he's doing everything right. He's doing everything completely right. Fasting, tithing, going to church, doing all those things, but he's doing it in his own strength for his own recognition, in his own pride. He is self-righteous. And self-righteousness will cause us to lose our focus. Because what if God wants to do a brand new thing in our hearts and our life? What if God wants to deal with our hearts about something? What if God wants to bring some correction or redirection in our life? Well, God, I think I've got this all worked out. Hello. That's one of the reasons why the Jews of that day, for the most part, there's many, 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 many Jews accepted Jesus while he walked on this earth. That's one reason that the Jews, for the most part, did not accept him, because they were walking in their what? Self-righteousness. Jesus dealt with them in Matthew chapter 23. He says, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a what? He says, you're a whitewashed sepulcher. I mean, he got pretty real with them. Can you say amen? But that's one thing we can, and when we get so focused on ourselves, we can lose our focus on the Lord. We can't get our focus on things that are contrary to the Word. We can't even get our focus on spiritual experiences or men. So many times people will follow a leader and forget that that leader is just a servant of God. Can you say amen? Whether it be a man or a woman. Can you say? Paul dealt with this in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12 and 13. Now this I say, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He goes on, he's carrying it on in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 3 says, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not yet carnal, behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So many times, what was going on here in Corinth, they were getting caught up. There was divisions among the believers there in Corinth because certain groups of people were following certain leaders that they liked. You say, well, Brother Doss, why talk about this? Because that's exactly the same thing that Peter did on the mountain. Lord, let's not build one tabernacle, let's build three. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So many times we get ourselves caught up on the spiritual experiences and leaders that our focus needs to stay on Christ, because our experience can never, ever get above the Word that gives it. Can you say amen? Don't get our eyes on the circumstances, like Peter in the storm. Don't get our eyes on material possessions like the rich young ruler. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, beginning of verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This world's passing away. We got to be careful. We got to hold our material possessions lightly. I shared with y'all when we were in Russellville, and Victoria will remember this guy. We were very, very involved. They had a very, very good mission there called the Main Street Mission. And this guy came there, and basically he was a modern-day hobo, a young man. Very interesting. Gave his heart to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost. We even had him up playing drums because, man, that dude was an excellent drummer. No telling where he played drums before. But he was a good save drum player. But he stayed in the mission, became very faithful, became very dedicated, stayed there several months. And so they began to acquire some property, and they bought a small trailer park. So they were trying to give a next step to some of the guys that were staying at the mission. And so we were able to help him get him a trailer and get him some dishes and get him a bed. And I got to noticing every time we went over there or every time he came to church, the more he seemingly got blessed, the more nervous he got. And I said, man, what's wrong? Tell me what's going on. He says, you don't understand something. He said, I've been this way for years. He says, I never liked to have more than I could carry. He says, because I didn't want to feel overloaded. I said, man, that'll preach. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we take on more than we can what? And we get to feeling what? And I'm not just talking about what we can carry on our back. But, I mean, last time I checked, the guy was still doing good. Very unique individual. But we've got to be careful with those things. Again, and we've got to be, we can't get our focus on ourselves. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Anytime we take our eyes off the Lord and on other things, we begin to lose out with God. And I want to tell you, sometimes we don't mean to. Sometimes we can get so caught up, so caught up. Do you think you can get so caught up in ministry that you lose your focus on God? Absolutely. Story about Mary and Martha. She's serving who? Jesus. He's coming to her. He's at her house getting ready to eat. And she's fixing dinner. But Mary's doing what? She's sitting there. And Martha is ticked. Good old Southern word. So finally she goes over and stomps over there and walks over to Jesus and says, "Don't you care? I'm over here cooking your dinner or your supper, whichever one you want to eat. And she's not helped. Tell her to come help me." She has lost her what? And Jesus talks to her about it. He says, "Martha, Martha." He said, "You're cumbered about and you're troubled." Notice he didn't just say you're cumbered about. He said you're cumbered about and troubled. About what? Many things. But Mary has chosen the best part. Not that what Martha was doing was a bad thing. But she was missing the whole purpose of his what? Presence. Jesus said, "There's going to be time for that. But right now, I just want to what? Spend some time with you." Can I tell you, as we think about that for Christmas, we get so caught up in Christmas stuff. And I'm not a Grinch. I'm not the Scrooge. I'm not. But let's not forget what Christmas is all about. Come on, somebody. Let's not lose our focus. Let's not get caught up in all the stuff. Boy, it's so easy to do. The Father said it best. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Hearken, pay attention, give ear to him. How do we keep our focus on him? How do we do it? We know how. Number one, follow him by faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Put your trust, put your faith, keep your eyes upon him. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 33? Seek ye second the kingdom of God. Seek ye third, or seek you when you have time. Seek ye what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added to you. Follow him by faith. No matter where he leads, trust him completely. Spend time with him, praying and talking and listening. Spend time with him. Spend time in his presence. Spend time worshiping. That also ties into the last thing. Spend time in applying, reading, and studying his word. Psalms 119, verse 18. Y'all still with me tonight? Y'all ain't done like the disciples done gone to sleep on me, have you? Psalms 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law or from your word." God, open my eyes. Help me to understand. Help me to see. I love verse 37. "Lord, turn away." It's in Psalms 119. And we know this. This is the Wednesday night crowd. Psalms 119 all deals with mainly the word of God, the precepts of God, the law of God. But in verse 18, it says, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your law." And Psalms 119, verse 37 says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." The psalmist says, "Lord, open my eyes. Help me to focus my eyes on what you'd have me to see in your word and your will and your ways. And God, turn my eyes. Help me to turn my eyes away from things that are worthless, things that are that where they shouldn't be." Can you say amen? Or things that are going to eat up my time. And so what is the psalmist saying? "Lord, help me to focus my eyes on where they need to be." I love this next word. Can you put that verse 37 up again? Y'all don't have that? I'm sorry, that's my fault. Psalms 1, y'all going to have to trust me on that. Psalm 119, verse 37, look at it in your Bibles. Turn away from my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Revive me in your way. That word revive means to give life, to recover life, to repair life, to restore life. To give life, to recover life, to repair life, to restore life. How can we be revived in the ways of the Lord? How can our lives be repaired, restored? How can we recover? By getting our focus away from worthless things and on the one it needs to be on. Can you say amen? He says, turn away from my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Spend time in his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If they're a lamp and a light, how do we know that there's a lamp shining or a light shining? We have to do what? We have to see it. We have to focus on it. Be faithful to God's house. Be faithful. Aren't you glad you showed up tonight? Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, I believe you can be a Christian at church. If you are homebound, if there's no way for you to get to church, he's not here tonight, and I sure would not want to embarrass him in any way, shape, or form. But there's a young man that lives about a mile down the road whose vision is very bad. But most of the time on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday nights, he would put his little boy in a stroller and walk him all the way up here just to come to church. And many times he walks him all the way back. Many of y'all have given him rides home and rides here. I passed by his house the other day. I said, Lord, thank you for the desire that he has, that Kevin has. Thank you for the hunger that he has. You know what that tells me? Somebody's willing to do that. They've got their focus in the right place. Can you say amen? Be faithful to God. This place helps stay focused on him. The next thing, we need to do a spiritual checkup every once in a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Examine ourselves. Test ourselves. Know for ourselves that Jesus is in us. We're good at examining others, but the Bible doesn't tell us too much to examine others. It said, well, we know others by their fruit. But the main one we need to check out is who? We need to check us out, especially when we partake of communion. I never will forget when we were at Russellville one time, one Sunday morning. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell Donna that I was going to do this. But we had communion, and somebody says, why didn't you tell us we were going to have communion? Why didn't you prepare us to have communion? And I said, number one, the Lord told me to do it this way. Number two is this. If we're not ready for communion, we're sure not ready for his coming. Hello. That's why we've got to be ready. What Jesus said this many times. Watch, pray, and do what? Be ready. Keep your focus. What do you say? Watch. Keep your focus, pray, and be ready. Can you say amen? We got to examine ourselves, test ourselves. The next thing, in any circumstance or situation that is questionable, ask yourself, how will this affect my relationship with Christ? Is this distracting me? Is this causing me to lose my focus? Is this directing me away from Christ? Is this hurting my testimony? Is this causing me to lose my focus? The next, be a person of personal worship, praise, and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Psalms 100. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Let me see something. How many times is I used in those three verses? How many times is us used in those three verses? How many times is me used in those three verses? It's not about me. It's all about Him. See, worship gets our eyes off of us and many times off our circumstance and off our certain situations and on who? And on Him. And when we're truly worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, it makes all the difference in the world. Why do you think we have worship, praise and worship before the Word? Because praise and worship helps us to focus on His Word and what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. Can you say amen? And sometimes praise and worship helps us to get focused, and the Holy Spirit says, all right, they're focused, and I'm going to, boom, show up and show out and do things that ain't nobody can do. But that can happen when we have our focus where it needs to be. Can you say amen? Are y'all still with me tonight? And I'm closing. I'm not just starting to close. I'm closing. What do we do if we've lost our focus in some areas? Ask for His forgiveness and very simply get our eyes upon the Lord. Listen to the Father's voice saying, hey, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. Spend time in His presence. And then like Peter, James, and John, when they opened their eyes, they saw Jesus. Saw who? Jesus only. Put our eyes on Jesus. In this time of year, let us keep our focus on Jesus. It's so easy. It is so easy to get distracted. I can't tell you how many things today just boom, out of the blue. One thing after another. And it happens like that. It happens to all of us. But we've got to keep our focus. Can you say amen? Father, tonight we